Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our show today is What One Person Can Do, and we'll be talking with my very special guest, Bill Cumming, who is a friend and a mentor and a coaching veteran for over 30 years. He's the creator of Motivation What Works, a course called What One Person Can Do, and the Power Within courses, all of which encourage ownership, responsibility, and teamwork. And he's also one of the people that I feel very blessed to have in my life as one of the people that I turn to when I'm sort of feeling stuck and out of touch with my own potential. And that's really what I want to talk about on the show today, is what you can do, not only what you can do to make a real and tangible difference in the world, to be able to persist in doing what you know in your heart is right, even in the face of seeming resistance or even indifference from the people around you, but also how to access that power that we all have inside us to change your life for the better. And in the first segment, I'm going to be talking with Bill, and then I'd like you to get the chance to talk to Bill. So if you want to get in, if you've got questions about, you know, how to tap into your own power, how to tap into your own potential to really make a difference in your own life and in the lives of the people that you care about most, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, and you can listen to the show while you're on hold, 1-866-254-1579. Or if you're calling from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300, and we'll do the best we can to get you towards the front of the queue. But with all that said, I'd like to bring on Bill. Bill, welcome to the show. Hello, Bill.
Lost you for a second. That's
okay. I'm right here.
We were talking about live radio before. Here we
yes,
go.
Yes, we were, and we just proved it. Right. So, really, by way of starting, I would love if you'd be willing to share sort of your own story in terms of how you got in touch with just that potential for all things that we have inside us.
Okay. Well, actually, I want to talk about the distinction for a moment about between potential and capacity. I've come to like the word capacity a whole lot better. And it was really when I discovered that within myself, I had the capacity for all things that I began to put this work together. So that takes me back to the how we got started. My background was in education. I had the privilege of helping one of my mentors found one of the pilots for Upward Bound in a little town called Sedalia, North Carolina, in 1964. And if you're wondering what that experience was like, go watch the movie Mississippi Burning, which was the summer of 1964 when three civil rights workers were killed in Mississippi.
And I remember thinking, I couldn't believe that that happened, you know, I mean, not quite in my lifetime, but near enough to my lifetime.
I was going to say, Michael, Right. Well, when I went into the courthouse in Greensboro, North Carolina the first time, there were two drinking fountains. And Al Boothby, my mentor, was a great one for experience rather than talk. And on the way down, he would not let us stop any place where people of color were not allowed to eat. And so consequently, any gas stations or restaurants that were restricted in any way, shape, or form, we didn't stop at. I want you to know that was a long ride to North Carolina. Anyway. So education, and I worked in schools. I was a very young YMCA executive director. And it came to the place where I was corporate responsibility officer for what is now KeyBank nationally. And I was still relatively young and thinking that most of the things that I was doing were a constructive contribution to what was going on in the world. And one day, one of my children, who was 8 years old, was raped. And I want to fast forward just for a moment to 2007, and that young woman will be coming for a visit this weekend. She is the chief operating officer of a company in Boston and just an incredible human being. She and her dog, Belle, live in a house that they're working on near the city of Boston, and she's a great human being. But that's not an experience one gets over. It's just one that one deals with. In any case, she's fine. And what I learned in the instance surrounding that event is that I could kill. And I didn't know that before. And that's not a concept in my mind. I have the capacity to kill now, then, period. So I started working on what it is that in the world possibly could make someone want to damage children in that kind of way. And it made me aware of all kinds of other violence that I was peripherally aware of, but not really. Do you know what I mean? It's very different when it happens that close.
Yeah, I have three kids, and I can't imagine.
Right. So one day I had the television on, and Phil Donahue, who used to do some great television before trash TV came along, and he had a guy named Nick Groth, who ran the sex offender program in the state of Connecticut, on, and three multiple offenders, murderers and rapists, and the conversation was very different than anything I'd heard before. There was a sense of ownership and responsibility in the conversation that made me very curious. So I called the maximum security prison in Somers, Connecticut, and to make what's a very long story very short, I went down and spent time inside the maximum security prison with Nick and people he'd worked with. And one of those individuals, who was, again, a convicted murderer and rapist, not eligible for parole, guy who as a child was locked in a closet for 10 days at a time. That's where he ate, slept. That was the bathroom, the whole nine yards. And those were the good days, because on the days when the children weren't locked up, they were being raped and sodomized by the drunken relatives in the family.
And this is the life experience of the guy that you're talking to in the prison?
Correct. That's his early childhood. Correct. So it was not hard for me to figure out how he got from that childhood to where I met him inside the maximum security prison in Somers. What I didn't expect is what happened at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that was that he came to me when no one else could hear, and there were no microphones or video cameras inside prisons in those days. He came to me and he said, "Bill, I am sorry that your daughter was raped." And I knew he meant it. Not maybe, if, or perhaps, I knew he meant it. So here's a person who's already committed murder and rape, capable of loving kindness. And I've spent my life trying to do things that I think are worthwhile, and I'm capable of killing. Well, it didn't happen immediately, but very shortly thereafter, I began to realize that the capacity for everything resides within each of us. Additionally, I asked Nick, I said, how is it possible for you to have created, rehabilitate, whatever. And he said, "You're not going to understand this unless I tell you exactly what it was I did." And he said, "It's not about scholarly works. It's not about theory or anything else." He said, "What I do is I am able to let this particular individual know that I care about them, that I love them, and that they're powerful enough to make choices." You have to think about this. He could have spent his day today doing anything, watching television, whatever. He chose to spend the day talking with you. And you, my friend, speaking to me, are not necessarily the easiest person to deal with right at the moment because you're very angry. So here, you know, this person has come to a place where he feels valued enough that he wants to contribute. And what Nick said and what became part of the ground of being of my work is that when people feel loved, honored, and valued, and they start to achieve tangible results in the world, all of a sudden they begin to see how that power influences every bit of their lives. So that's how we began putting the pieces of this process together that allows people to experience the capacity that resides in all of these areas, including the power to change anything that's going on right at the moment.
And I just want to remind people, if you want to talk to Bill and me later in the show, the number's called 1-866-254-1579. That's 1-866-254-1579. If you're already on hold, please hang on. We will get you on right after the break. So, Bill, just we're sort of coming up towards our first break, but what for you if somebody says, "Okay, I see that you know you've done these great things. I see that these people have been lucky enough to have had a Nick Groth in their life, to have had a Bill Cumming in their life, you know, that allowed them, you know, or maybe it was a parent, but someone in their life that really gave them the space." You know, what if somebody's listening right now saying, "Well, that's great for them, but I don't have that person. I don't have access to that."
Okay. Well, interesting. You would use the word access, probably intentional, but the fact is, it is about access. The only thing I can say is that, without knowing me, what you do need to know is that it does matter to me what happens in your life, and if you want to get at those issues, we will find a way to talk about those issues and get you involved in a process that will allow you to realize that you can take charge of your own life.
Now, okay. And if you want to talk to Bill again on the show, I'll just do this one more time, this segment. The number is called 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free. 1-866-254-1579. If you're calling from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. If you're on hold, hang on. We will get you on. And I will be right back with my very special guest, Bill Cumming, right after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back indeed. We are talking with my very good friend, Bill Cumming. If you want to find out more about Bill and his work, you can visit his website at www.oneperson.net. That's O-N-E-person.net. And let's go to the phones. Let's talk with Cindy in Nashville, Tennessee. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Hey there. How are you?
Very well. What can we do for you today?
Well, actually, I'm just trying to determine. I went through a divorce, and my husband and I had a company together, so I'm pretty much starting over at the late date and trying to decide what path to take because there's so many opportunities out there, or I should say different fields to go into, and I'm really having a rough time just making that decision.
Take the one on the left.
Oh, my goodness.
They're all on the left. Oh, no. I'm gonna hand you over to Bill.
Hi, Cindy.
Hey.
Michael says the one on the left. The first thing is it's important to remember that all decisions are made based on insufficient data and information.
Okay.
There isn't a right answer. It's valuable to remember that, okay? I know that doesn't fill you with surety, but...
Well, that I do know because I've run into that quite a bit.
What, the fact that there is no right answer?
Because there's all insufficient information to make that decision.
Correct.
So.
Now, given that, one of my favorite questions is, if wishes of horses and beggars could ride, if you could do anything, what is it that truly makes your heart sing? What would you love to
do
with a child?
I have no idea because, you know, you work with somebody for 10 years and you lose that sense of that. I've searched that question and the answer for that years and years. I just don't know.
Okay. What kinds of things did you have? What was your partnership about?
He was in business contractor, so I've got a master's degree in business, but that does not, I'm just not interested in that. I don't feel like it helps anybody. And for some reason I have this need to, you know, to go into something that helps people.
But you have a master's degree in business?
Uh-huh.
And you're in Nashville?
Yes.
Great. Go talk to people who run big nonprofits. Go to the YWCA, the YMCA, the Boys Club. All of those organizations have operations in Nashville. There's probably a foundation center in Nashville that funds nonprofit organizations. Start talking to people who can take your business expertise and make it useful within a nonprofit organization. They're dying for people with that kind of expertise.
Let me ask you something. How crazy is it to start to – I really would like to go to medical school, and
uh-huh.
I'm really struggling with that.
Well, there wasn't an answer to the if wishes of horses and beggars could ride. You just answered it. Medical school.
Bill, I've been trying to point out to you, everyone who calls into the show lies. Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's just the way it is.
Okay. Cindy.
Oh, we lie. Okay.
So you want to be a doctor?
I'd like to, yeah.
Great. So are you in a position to make that possible financially?
Yeah, I can, but, you know, I'm reminded constantly that I'll be like 50 when I get out of school. So.
And if you're very lucky, I don't very often turn on morning television. It's just not one of my things. But today, because the Internet connection wasn't working right, I clicked it on to make sure that because it's tied to the cable, I wanted to make sure that there was a signal.
Uh-huh.
And I saw these two people who they were celebrating, I think, on the NBC program, for one being 103 and one being 108. Well, if you're 50, that'd give you 50 years of practice. Come on now, Cindy.
And Cindy, I gotta say, just because it actually is a classic story of the woman who's in line at college orientation, and one of the kids goes Hey, Grandma, what are you doing in line? You know, how old are you? And she said, oh, I'm 55. And she goes, he goes, well, you know, you're going to be 60 by the time you get out of here. And said, with a bit of luck, I'm going to be 60 anyways.
That's a good point.
Right.
That's a very good point.
And if you're going to be when at whatever age it is when you complete it, and it's been your lifelong dream, you won't have to wonder what would have happened if you'd followed your heart.
Exactly.
Well, so you can do us a little favor, Cindy. You going to call us back when you've enrolled?
I will.
That'll be wonderful.
I certainly will.
That'll be great.
Thanks a lot for your help.
Yep. You bet. All right, let's go to Paula in Palm City, Florida. Paula, welcome to the show. What can we do for you today?
Hi. Well, you know, I'm Paula from Palm City. Thanks for talking to me today.
You're welcome.
I'm in a really good position where I asked a couple years ago for a job that I could be, a career that I could be passionate about and work less and make more money. And I have been given that opportunity, and things have just changed around wonderfully for me. But I need to get out of my own way. A lot of times people will give me help, and the first thing I do is try to take the control back. And I wondered if there's a quick fix for that.
Okay. Hi, Paula. This is Bill. Michael, I hope it's okay if I just step right in.
That's why I paused.
Okay. I figured as much. Well, if you already have self-diagnosed the whole thing in a way, you recognize that people offer assistance and you want to take back control. There's a really valuable thing to recognize, and that is that the only thing you and I control is us, our reactions, what we do, all of those other kinds of things.
Right.
What we also have the opportunity to do, though, is influence lots of other things, almost everything around us. So the greatest, ground of being you can have around anybody is, what can I learn from this person today? All right. What is it that this person is saying that I'm not hearing? And as often as you can, the quickest way to get at that is to really work on your listening skills. You know the little voice that is in the back of your head?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the one that judges and evaluates everything, even when you try to have it not be running, it judges and evaluates everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're not listening whenever the little voice is running. What you want to do is try to listen to every person who speaks to you about serious matters. I'm not talking about frivolous, idle conversations, but serious conversations, as if those words were being spoken by you. Focus on the intent of that person so that there's no next question coming up, no judgment or evaluation or anything else. The more you work on that, the more likely it is you'll hear what's important for you to know and what's to be learned in there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does make sense.
Yeah. There's no quick fix for it, but when you find yourself going back to an old pattern that you know is not good, just stop yourself, go back, and recognize it's valuable to be breathing. It's a gift to be breathing. This is an old pattern. I don't need to repeat this. And then go back at the situation, whatever it was.
Okay, great.
And there's something I just want to throw in. There's an interesting connection you made, Paula, where you said, every time someone tries to help me, I try to get control back.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a connection there that says, oh, someone trying to help you means that they're taking control from you in some way.
Right, or they have an ulterior motive. Yeah.
Right, and that's just an interesting assumption to bring to the party. And, you know, it may or may not surprise you to know that that's not how everyone thinks about it, and that there are a lot of people who offer assistance because it makes them feel useful. In fact, the woman who was on the phone just before you, she was looking for a way to be of service to people. And if, you know, all those people are like, no, you can't be of service to me because then you're taking control from me, well, she's dead out of luck.
Right.
So it's recognizing, one of the things that I think, you know, from what Bill was saying, that you'll begin to hear is the difference between when someone is trying to butt in, take control, take over, and when someone's just genuinely offering assistance. Because when someone is assisting you, if you have an assistant, who's in charge?
No, I'm still in charge.
That's right. And so it's sort of really noticing that difference between help, you know, which goes, I can't do this, help, you take over. And a request for assistance, which is, you know what, I can do this, and boy, it would be a heck of a lot easier and more fun if I had some assistance.
Right. because it is more fun with, when other people are involved.
It is. That's why I got Bill on the show.
There you go.
All right. Thanks so much for phoning in, Paula.
Thank you.
Paula.
Okay. So we will be back with more of your calls. Remember the numbers to get in, 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 1-866-254-1579. And again, you can still listen to the show on hold. If you're on hold now, we will get you on after the break. And Bill, just sort of to take us into the break, I'm going to give you a mean one. Okay, you got 30 seconds. What's something that anyone can do in the moment, during the 5 minutes between now and when we come back on air, to make a difference to their own well-being?
First of all, take a deep breath and let it out slowly and recognize your breathing. Now, I know that sounds simplistic, but recognize that you are breathing and capable of breathing, and keep that doing that deep breath until you recognize what a privilege that is. And as you recognize that you are still alive, that also means that in the next second you have the ability and the power to choose. No matter what's happened in the past, you can choose in this second if you recognize that this second is a gift.
Thank you very much. We will be back with more of Bill Cumming and more of your calls after the break. Again, if you want to find out more about Bill and his work, you can go to www.oneperson.net. If you are not already on my mailing list, go to www.geniuscatalyst.com, and you can sign up for the free newsletter with tips and tricks and techniques week after week after week. We will be right back after this break.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Welcome back indeed. We are talking with Bill Cumming. We're talking about what one person can do, and we're talking with you on 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 1-866-254-1579. And let's go to, I believe it's Sandra in Michigan. Sandra, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much. I've never heard of you before today, so it's a whole new day.
Welcome to our world.
Thank you.
What's your question?
I married a wonderful man, but he's not really well right now. He's got a little hepatitis C, but he's almost finished up with all of this medication. But he doesn't seem to have the same kind of libido like me. You know, I mean, it seems like he's sort of lacking a lot of passion. You know, he's not a very, you know, romantic person. So, and I'm trying to, I would like to have a little more romance in the relationship, and so I'm trying to figure out what's the best thing to do.
Okay.
And I've been very patient.
Well, I assume you're not phoning us to request a surrogate, so with that in mind,
that's
I'll...
That's an interesting idea. No. Nope.
All right, Bill.
Right, Michael. Thank you very much.
There you go. This would be the perfect show, right?
All right, Sandra. First of all, are you aware of some of the side effects of the drugs that are used for Hep C?
Yeah, I am. And I know that the Hep C has it. But I think he's just sort of a closed person to begin
with. I'll come back to the closed person in a moment.
Okay.
But there are some very... I have a very dear friend who had the same circumstance in their lives, and there was a combination of both malaise and lack of libido and all kinds of things, and this is a gal, just be mindful of those things. Now, let's go in back to, how did you just describe him? You just used a phrase.
He holds back. He doesn't really open up, so he's not real sharing of himself.
Not very sharing of himself. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it okay with you if he tells you anything that's really going on with him?
Absolutely.
Okay. So how could you create an environment in which you're sure from your point of view anything he said would be okay?
Mm-hmm.
So think about the kind of questions. What is it that you really want to ask him?
I just like to have more conversations with him about things. Not
okay.
Just,
and you've told him that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and his reaction to it is?
He's just not an open person. He's not a very open. I probably bring out more than most people with him, in all honesty, because I'm a very positive person.
Okay, well, but the thing is that when somebody says they're not an open person, that's...
He doesn't say he's not open. He just isn't open.
Okay, Well, not being open usually is a decision that somebody made at a time previously. If the first few times you opened your mouth as a child, you were told that you were dumb or foolish or stupid, it causes people to withdraw and not share what's really going on. Or after people have shared what's really going on and people judge and evaluate it, it causes the same kind of thing. Does he see his non-sharing as an issue? Does he see it as a problem?
He doesn't, and it's interesting because the other day I said to him, I said, I'm going to reprogram him. I'm going to give you all these 3 or 4 compliments a day. And then pretty soon you'll know it, and then you'll, you know.
Well.
So, you know, that's what I thought. Maybe I need to sort of, like, reprogram him this way. Maybe I just get to keep putting out the positive stuff. But it gets to the point where, as I said to him, you know, I can give all this positive, but after a while my tank gets empty, and I need a little fill-up. You know?
All right. Well, so, first of all, Sandra, how long have you been with this person?
About 4 years.
Okay. Have you already discovered that trying to reprogram people doesn't work yet?
I haven't really thought about it before, and I wasn't really trying to force the issue. I was really almost saying it in a half-humorous kind of way.
No, I got that, but yeah. I was too.
Yeah.
The truth is, you can't reprogram him. He has to do that for himself.
Yeah.
Now, there are a couple of books that I find really valuable relative to openness and communication, and especially around the issues of ownership of one's own well-being. And they're Don Miguel Ruiz's books, The Four Agreements and The Mastery of Love. Now, those books talk about the fact that happiness and satisfaction are a place to come from and learning how to develop that. If you read those two books, you will discover some things about yourself. And then you can read other books that lead you along the ways of developing disciplines that will allow you to communicate more effectively. Michael's book, You Can Have What You Want. And I'm going to warn you about things. A lot of self-help books are about people's good ideas. Michael knows that this is not about good ideas. It's about discipline and a practice and what's inside of people. What you really want is for your partner to feel more comfortable, but in truth, his happiness and satisfaction is his responsibility, not something that you can change. Michael, you want to?
Yeah, there's two things I'd like to just put in center. One was when you talked about, you know, maybe I'll try complimenting him 4 times a day and reprogram him. There is no set of circumstances I can imagine where that's a bad idea. In other words, putting out positive words, putting out positive thoughts, that just, look, it's not going to hurt, and it's very, very likely to help, and it's likely to help you as well as somebody else because it just feels good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you repeat the word love 100 times in your mind, and then you, as an experiment, repeat the word hate 100 times in your mind, you're going to feel very different after those two experiments. So regardless of whether or not that would reprogram him or change him in any way, I think that's a splendid idea.
I just thought it would set up a better form of trust that he's not going to be getting a lot of... I always feel like there's something with him that he must have gotten some kind of criticism in the past.
It absolutely might do that, Sandra, and even if it doesn't, it's going to make your life better.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, you know, you talk about sometimes your tank is empty. I consider that all of our number one responsibilities is to keep our tank full. And, you know, there's an element to which you're talking about, boy, you would like to make a contribution to his well-being. And, you know, it starts by recognizing that in the same way as he is ultimately responsible for his own happiness and well-being, you're ultimately responsible for yours. And that means that if you know you're doing a lot of driving, you take the time to put some extra fuel in the tank. So what fuels you? What are the things for you that when you do them, your life just works better? You feel more at peace, more whole.
I love helping people and being a support system to people. I mean, I'm not a person that gets angry about stuff. I'm just not. And some people get mad because somebody gave them the finger. I don't care about that stuff. You know, sometimes I deserve it. That stuff, I almost feel like one of these little angels on earth kind of people in a way. But I would like to have something in an adult relationship where there's a little bit more satisfaction there.
Well,
it's not the number one, but it would be a little bit of icing on the cake.
I totally get that, and I like the metaphor of sort of being an angel here on earth. But if you were an angel here on earth, what would be the things that you could do that would keep you in touch with heaven even while you were here on earth? you know, for some people it's going for walks in nature. For some people it's time meditating or praying. For some people it's reading certain things.
You know, I've been reaching out and doing things. I just started a class in Tai Chi. I started ice skating, and I'm terrified about it and falling. And that's probably my only thing I'm really scared of in life is falling on the ice.
And after you do those things, after you ice skate, after you do the Tai Chi, do you feel more connected? Do you feel more whole in yourself?
Well, I'm glad I'm doing it. You know, I'm finally just saying, hey, you know, quit talking about it, just get out and do it. So I am doing things. I'm trying to face
Okay, so here's your homework.
You know.
I've got homework for you, I'm afraid. Your homework is, because each one of those things is great, and they sound lovely, but I want you to find at least one thing this week that you can do completely for you, not to make you a whole, more whole person, a better communicator, more influential, simply because when you do it, you feel better in yourself. And I want you to just look for that. Find that. That is something that regardless of what anyone else does or doesn't do, when you do this thing, you feel better in yourself. You feel more whole in yourself because it's from that place that you're going to find the solution. And it may be, as Bill said at the beginning, it may be something as simple as there's some medication, and once that medication's out of the system, a lot of this will clear up.
Do you have any sort of a little box full of ideas of things that could sometimes make people feel good?
I do, and you know what? It's in a book called You Can Have What You Want. It really is. I put the best of that, and also if you go to the website, to geniuscatalyst.com, there are free tips every single day and additional tips every single week, just filled with ideas for how you can do that. So feel free to just dig in and start playing and look for the ones that make you come alive. Look for the ones that appeal to you, that just make you smile when you think about doing them.
What is this website called?
It's called geniuscatalyst.com.
Okay.
All right. And thank you very much for phoning in. Welcome to the family. I hope you'll phone us again.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Sandra.
Day.
All right. We will be back with one final segment. If you want to get into that segment, the number to call, 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. And we're going to also talk a little bit about money in this last segment. And I'd also like to talk just about the program that Bell's developed, what one person can do, and how you can take part in that. We will be right back after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back for one final segment today. If you would like to speak with us live on air, the number is called 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And I just want to talk a little bit about the program that Bill's developed, one of the many programs he's developed, called What One Person Can Do. And Bill and I will talk about that in a moment. If you want more information about that after hearing us talk about it, you can go to Bill's website, which is www.oneperson.net, O-N-E-person.net. Or you can, if you are interested in doing the program with me, you can email one person, again, O-N-E person, at geniuscatalyst.com. Bill, let's just take a couple of minutes to talk a little bit about that program, you know, how it came about and what its intention is.
Okay. It came about when I recognized that the capacity for everything resides within all people. I wanted to find a way to give people an opportunity to experience that power. And access to power actually comes from small things, not from global conceptual ideas. We keep looking for big solutions, big answers, when oftentimes once you begin to discover that you can take charge of one piece of your life, then all of a sudden you begin to see that that's true in other arenas and larger arenas. So the first part of the process, the What One Person Can Do process, is about 3 hours long, and it's mostly sharing experiences. When I deliver it, they're my experiences. When you do it, it's your experience. And so that part of the experience is talking about things that have worked, things that produce results, generally speaking, et cetera. It's like a foundational 3 hours. The rest of the process is taking an exercise a week, whether it's working on a case study or working on one's energy or working on changing habits, whatever it happens to be, and then coming back and reporting on that to whatever size group it happens to be or whether it's a live group, that kind of thing. But all about experiential opportunities and the opportunity to share that experience and grow it with a group of people. In essence, that's what it is, Michael.
Right, and you know, obviously, having gone through the program for myself, found it just one of the most remarkably life-changing experiences I ever had, which is, you know, why you and I still talk.
That's right.
Because I really value your take on things, your contribution. The other area I wanted to get into that we mentioned we'd get into is, for me, a lot of the What One Person Could Do exploration, a lot of the work that you do is a sort of a recognition, or it leads to a recognition, that it really isn't circumstances that dictate the quality of our lives or even the direction of our lives. You know, they are certainly a factor, but they don't have to be the predominant factor. They don't have to be the driving factor. And one of the circumstances, the one that probably comes up most often as the reason that I can't have what I want or do what I want is money. And so I'm just would love to hear anything that you've got on how even money doesn't have to be the predominant or controlling factor, usually the lack of money in our lives.
Right. Well, again, like everything else, the lack of money is a condition in the moment. Unless you've decided that you're going to be a person who isn't going to have money forever, and you'll know whether that's the truth, whether you just agreed with that notion. Somebody's listening and they thought, aha, see, they just hit it. I know I'm never going to have money. If you keep recreating that thought in your mind, that's the way you begin to live your life. Assume you have, one of the questions that I ask people often is, if you were naked in the street, put in a third world country, would you make it? Would you survive? And if you can answer that question in the affirmative, then getting from point A to point B in the one of the wealthiest countries in the world is not difficult. And I don't know how wide. Are we heard in the internet all over the world?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Then it doesn't make any difference where you are, what the circumstances are.
There's somebody right now going, I was dropped naked in the street in the third world. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, and there are two kinds of people. There are people who recognize that they hate that circumstance and work their way out of it, and those that don't. Viktor Frankl wrote the line, the only thing we have to choose is our attitude, our way of being, inside a concentration camp. The issue is about how you approach things. So if you say that money is the thing that will stop you from getting what you want, then it will. And what if you have no money, there needs to be the beginning of a process. Probably the quickest story I can tell, my son came to me and he wanted a job. There were no jobs available. He said, well, he rode around and talked to the five or six employers within his bicycle range, came back and said, Dad, there are no jobs. I said, great, so what do those people know about you? And he said, nothing. I said, great, so how could you let them know that you're serious? Well, I could go back and tell them I was serious. Great. So he went back and told them all that he was serious. They still didn't have any jobs. And I said, so what do they know about you now? Well, that I meant what I said. Great, what do they know about you as a worker? They don't know anything. Well, how about going back and offering them a full day's work, doing anything they wanted done just to get a sense of how you work? Great, he went back, and one guy along the way said, gee, this sounds like a really good idea. We'll see whether this guy's any good. And he ran a camp place where people used open-air latrines and things like that, and then in the fall they turned the water off, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, as you might well imagine, some campers, even after the water was turned off, kept using the facilities. And so those facilities were in rough shape. By about 1 o'clock, Neville had cleaned all those facilities, gotten ready for paint, came back and said, they're all done. And the camp owner said, not possible. Went around and found they were. Never guess who had a job by the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of the mental attitude that you have. It's not about the circumstances. But we keep focusing so much on the circumstances that we forget that we have choices to make. I can't talk, and again, it's not the power of positive thinking with acknowledgments to Norman Vincent Peale. This is not just about saying, well, things will get better. It's about what are my choices right now and beginning some action. And again, I think it's one of the reasons why you and I have maintained a long-term friendship is a lot of the ideas that you have are about getting people in action, not just having a thought about something, but getting them into actual action about resolution. beginning, changing habits, all those kinds of things. I don't know whether that's where you want
to go. No, that's absolutely, that's absolutely, because I think that's the core thing is recognizing that the circumstance is just the circumstance. And it's something I keep learning. You know, I bump up against different circumstances. You know, I'll handle one thing or think I've handled one thing, and then something else will come up, and, you know, I'll hear myself inside my head going, I can't because. And I'll know that pretty much whatever comes after that because is an idea before my mind.
Right, and will be the thing that blocks you on down the road if you keep thinking it.
Absolutely. And
go ahead.
No, you.
No. You finished that thought. I just wanted to talk about the four-session thing I was doing. Keep going.
Oh, no, please do, because that's really for me, you know, they hear me all the time. I'd love them to find out more about you.
All right.
I'm doing this, folks. You know, Bill is just to me one of the best people in the world at doing the kind of things that he does. And, you know, if you listen to this, if you resonate with him, please do check out the website, www.oneperson.net. Get in touch and find out how you can connect. But that's what you're going to talk about.
Thanks, Michael. I appreciate that very much. Well, I've had the notion for years that the What One Person Can Do process needs to be 12 weeks long and all that stuff. We're going to do a mini version of it. It won't be a survey course because we'll get into depth even though it's only 4 weeks, but it'll be a 4-week process and we're going to only charge $100 for it. So it's a very radical change, as you well know. I just told you about it a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
It's a very, very radical change. But interestingly enough, it is about money for me, because one of the things that we wanted to do is generate some more money for other projects that we have in mind. And this is one of the ways that we want to do it. So it's a very different approach than we've taken before, but it came out of a conversation of how can we as opposed to why we can't.
Right. And that's, again, that's that brilliant thing, is it's difficult to know what the edges of your world are. The analogy that I always like, because it's easy for me to visualize, is that, you know, if a dog is on a long enough chain, he doesn't necessarily know that he's chained up.
Right.
And, you know, if you're not testing out the edges of your world, the edges, what feel like the boundaries of what you're capable of what your capacity is, of what's possible for you in your life, you know, going back to that first woman and going, well, I mean, you know, obviously I can't go to medical school, so there's nothing that I want.
Right.
You know, if you don't test the edge of that chain, you don't realize that there is a chain there. You don't realize what's holding you back. And that's the beauty of any kind of an exploratory process, whether it's through this course, whether it's through working with a coach, whether it's through listening to the kind of shows we do here at Hay House, is to really just stretch and find out where the edges are for now. Because wherever they are for now, they don't have to be there for all time. Bill, thank you so much for being with me. Again, if you want to find out more about Bill and his work, www.oneperson.net. I'd like to also thank Sonny and Joe and Roberto in the studio for looking after us today. And thank you for being with us. The show next week will be The Coach Approach. We're going to look at the difference between therapy and consulting and coaching, and how the coach approach can often get you further faster than a lot of these other ways. Thank you very much for listening. God bless. We will be back with you next week.